So we are reading Canto 9, chapter 10. We're going to recite verse 53, but I'm going to cover a few verses. So this is part of the lead-up classes to Ram Navami later this week, the appearance day of Lord Ram. So translation, verse 53, when Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was the king of this world, all bodily and mental suffering, disease, old age, bereavement, lamentation, distress, fear, and fatigue were completely absent. There was even no death for those who did not want it. Wow. All these facilities, purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, all these facilities existed because of Lord Ramachandra's presence as the king of the entire world. A similar situation could be introduced immediately, even in this age called Kali, the worst of all ages. It is said, Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatara. Krishna descends in this Kali Yuga in the form of His holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. If we chant offenselessly, Rama and Krishna are still present in this age. The kingdom of Ram was immensely popular and beneficial, and the spreading of this Hare Krishna movement can immediately introduce a similar situation, even in this Kali Yuga. Om Agyante Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamaya Tadati sapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yatapadakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Sha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagna Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padhan Sahagna Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Pancha Kalpaturubhischa Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sadigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Govinda Prabhu, where are we? Hare Krishna. 8:45 is it on Saturdays?
Prasad's late, so if you take questions at 8:45, but if you run on tonight, you want.
Okay, no problem. So I'm going to just go back a few verses, if that's okay with you. I'm going to go back to verse 50, those of you who are following. So verse 50, Canto 9, Chapter 10. Being pleased by the full surrender and submission of Lord Bharat, Lord Ramachandra then accepted the throne of the state. He cared for the citizens exactly like a father, and the citizens, being fully engaged in their occupational duties of Varna and Ashram, accepted him as their father. Lord Ramachandra became king during Tretiyug, but because of his good government, the age was like Satyug. Everyone was religious and completely happy. O Maharaj Parikshit, best of the Bharat dynasty. During the reign of Lord Ramachandra, the forests, the rivers, the hills and mountains, the states, the seven islands and the seven seas were all favorable in supplying the necessities of life for all living beings. When Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was the king of this world, all bodily and mental suffering, disease, old age, bereavement, lamentation, distress, fear and fatigue were completely absent. There was even no death for those who did not want it.
Is anybody here in a morning class for the very first time? Anyone at all? Okay.
First time. But you've been to morning Bhagavatam classes and CC classes before. Okay, so you know who Lord Ram is.
Okay. I will give a brief introduction anyway, because I think any way we discuss the Lord is always wonderful and serves to remind us of why he comes the way he does, especially when we misunderstand, you know. And Lord Ramachandra's pastime, extremely inspiring, very hard and difficult to live up to, though. When you read verses like this, how perfect this world was under his leadership, one can wonder, well, will we ever have a leader like this again? So it's important to go back to the roots of understanding who the Lord is, why he comes and when he comes. So Krishna is very kind. He explains this to us in the Bhagavad Gita. He explains to Arjun that whenever there is an increase in irreligion and a decrease in religion, I come myself. And he says why? He says, I come to reestablish religious principles. I come to annihilate demons. And I come to please the devotees. This is just three out of many, many, many reasons Krishna has, but he sums them up in these three. And as Lord Ramchandra, as we're hearing, he appears in Treta Yuga. Divinity, but personified in humanity. Because the demon at the time who was reigning, who was making sure that there was an increase in irreligion and a decrease in religion, was none other than Ravan. Ravan, who had extremely great expertise in the Vedas, extremely austere, which is why he was able to use the Vedas in such a way that he would be given any boon that he wanted. And problem with demoniac intelligence is there's always a flaw. And he missed a beat when asking to be immortal. The beat he missed is he didn't worry about being destroyed by human beings. So Krishna being very clever and, of course, knowing that demonic mentality always misses a beat. Okay, well, if I have to come, I'll come in the very form that you least fear. I'll come as a human being. And anybody who has been practicing Krishna consciousness or any actually religion to a deep level, spirituality to a deep level, and has stuck to it for a long time, will see that the two most difficult things to marry or combine or understand alongside each other are humanity and divinity together. So it's an extremely difficult avatar, incarnation, appearance and existence to have humanity expressing divinity and as a leader. So Lord Ramachandra is, of course, he comes what one would call in the Varna of a Kshatriya. Okay, a leader, a ruler, a king. So his humanity is noticed, or his actions and his words are noticed by many, right? All of us here have to balance humanity and divinity. But when you're a leader, it's on public display, isn't it? People scrutinize you. If we look around us, the news, what's it full of? You know, depending on which country you live in, there are varying degrees of news which cover what the politicians are up to. Okay, and some people enjoy this. I would say very few people enjoy this. Most people are troubled by it. Most people don't find much solace in the personal activities, let alone the political activities, a lot of leaders. So when the Lord comes as Lord Ramachandra, and takes birth to King Dashrath and Mother Kausalya, he knows what he is up against. He knows that it's going to be a very difficult task. So from the get-go, actually, he's a good leader before he even takes the leadership position. There's leadership by varna, there's leadership by appointment, there's leadership by qualification. There's a good friend of mine told me, you know, leadership by qualification is, Prabhupada uses this description, that it's like if you leave milk for long enough, cream rises to the top, doesn't it? If you just let milk sit, we get Ahimsa milk at home, and I've had glass bottles for some time now. It's much easier to see when this bottle's been sitting there, even for a day, all the cream's there, nice and rich, thick at the top, you know. So this leadership is something in this world that has become a bit perverted. Because actually, if we look at spiritual leadership, the highest position in spiritual life is thus, anudas, anudas, servant of the servant of the servant. And awe and reverence is really not of any interest, right? The perverted reflection here is awe and reverence is seen as something that highlights our life, right? We want to be recognized. But leadership is a dangerous place to be recognized, because it means that your humanity and everything you represent is also on display. So actually Lord Ram exemplifies being a good leader, first of all, by being a good follower. When we read the pastimes of what he was like as a son and as a citizen, you know, we have a few more days to discuss all of Lord Ram's pastimes, but I'm going to just pick some highlights. In his youth, when he had to go with Vishwamitra Muni to kill the demons, he was young. He was not a grown man who'd spent many, many, many years with his family. He was young. But to be a good follower, a good son, and a good representative, and to uphold the importance and the foundation that good leadership gives, even though it pained his heart, he still left. And this is, you know, being a good follower is what ultimately leads to being a good leader. When he had to be banished to the forest for 14 years. Now, it's not our 14 years. It's 14 years in the context of Treta Yuga, where you live for 10,000 years. Okay, so you might think, oh, 14 years is nothing then in 10,000 years. But actually, it's longer. The reason I'm saying longer is if when we read Bhagavatam, timescales are not always exactly given in terms of what it would mean in that age. For I'll give you an example. When Sita Devi leaves, because she cannot bear the separation from Lord Ram, he does an Agnihotra sacrifice for 13,000 years. Now, if you then go, okay, well, hang on, if they only live for 10,000 years, how does he do a sacrifice for 13,000 years? So is the 14 years in our time? Is the 13,000 years in our time? Is it in Treta Yuga time? I find getting involved in these details make me lose focus with what the purpose of the actual pastime is about. And you can argue it both ways. One could say, okay, well, if we say it's human, like our Kali Yuga years, then 14 years of separation between Ram and Sita, is not so much. Or 13, actually, because 1 year. I'm getting muddled. Forgive me. That time, 14 years, is not so much. And or you could say it was a very, very long time, and get caught up in these things. So I'm pointing out, just saying, you know, there's always a relativity in all of these things. So it did not, it was not easy when he was banished. It was not easy when he even knew that the instruction for banishment wasn't coming from a good place. And yet again, to show that he's a good leader and a good follower, and that the kingdom and the dynasty itself upholds its word and upholds this one sentence, you know, that's in verse 51, that he took care of the citizens exactly like a father. What does a father do? Puts the children before himself. Isn't it? If all of us here have a father, whether we knew them very much or didn't know them very much, we all have a father. And we all have an idea of what an ideal father is. And an ideal father or an ideal mother would put us first. The biggest complaint I get, you know, the biggest resentment often children will have as adults when they come to see me as a patient is they'll say, you know, okay, my parents, Mother Gokulananda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Gorintai ki jai, is my parents didn't put me first.
And they have different experiences of that. Either there wasn't quality time, or there wasn't enough attention, or there wasn't enough affection, or there wasn't enough money. So many different ways of experiencing this. So this treating your citizens exactly like a father, it's a long-term vision. It's not something just somebody adopts as soon as they take the throne or they're given a position, right? This, what does it come from? It comes from care and love. And Lord Ramachandra, being the father of every living entity, of course, it's at the core of his very heart to love everyone. The core of his very heart to love everyone. So this fatherly quality of I will put you before me, even when it pains me, comes very naturally to him. Comes very naturally to him because he is divinity personified in humanity. Personified in humanity. Again, we hear these things, we think, yeah, so that if maybe only Lord Ramachandra is, maybe only Lord Ram can be this kind of a leader. Maybe this is too much for us to follow. But this spirit of loving cooperation that Lord Ram exemplifies, spirit of love and cooperation, that is what divinity is. Prabhupada mentions in the purport to verse 51, it says, being pleased by the full surrender and submission of Lord Bharat, Lord Ramchandra then accepted the throne of the state. He cared for the citizens exactly like a father, and the citizens, being fully engaged in their occupational duties of Varna and Ashram, accepted him as their father. Okay, Prabhupada explains in the purport, the purpose of Varnashram is to enable people to become God conscious. Now, when we're hearing these verses, it can be very attractive that, wow, you know, a good leader would make us very materially comfortable. I mean, even death doesn't have to come for those who don't want it, right? We're never going to have, can't imagine anybody we'd vote for who could give us a life like that. I mean, even if, would we put even that kind of pressure on our temple presidents? Dare I say, you know, yes, you should create such a comfortable environment for us that you don't even need a gardener outside because the flowers take care of themselves. You know, would we put that kind of pressure? But this spirit of love and cooperation is there. It's inherent in all of us because that divinity is inherent in all of us. And so Lord Ramchandra's spirit of love and cooperation, it's not just inherent, it's manifest. Because the Lord is not conditioned by material nature. He's not covered by material nature. So he can experience like a human being. He feels pain. He feels sorrow. He feels worry. When Sita Devi's kidnapped by Ravan, he feels worry, doesn't he? When he is banished, he feels sorrow. He feels pain when he sees his father crying. He feels sorrow being separated. He goes through all the human experiences, but they don't control him. This is what conditioning means. Conditioning is the degree to which I am controlled by my humanity. Krishna consciousness is very practical. It's very real. Prabhupada taught us, using all of his personal training and his personal example, that the process that we have set up, the community we have set up, is there to allow us to have our human experience, but wake up to our spiritual identity and our spiritual experience and our most spiritual relationship. So this is what Lord Ramachandra did. As a leader, he was loving, he was cooperative. As a follower, he was loving and cooperative. And when your leader is loving and cooperative, what does that make you feel like? How do you feel? When you have a leader, whether they're your ashram leader, whether they're a friend who you look up to, whether they're just leading a group activity because you've got a puzzle you've got to complete, okay, and you know that they care about you, what does that evoke in you? Support. Support, okay, so you feel supported. And when you feel supported, what does that evoke in you? Love, trust, yes. Inspiration, yes, inspiration. And this last sentence in the verse, accepted him as their father. There's being loving, there's being unconditionally loving, but people have to accept him, right? And we are often topsy-turvy in our leadership because we're all leaders, like I said, whether by appointment or by qualification, there's some element of someone's looking up to us. Someone's following in our footsteps. Even the children that we haven't biologically given birth to, there are so many looking up to us, following in our footsteps. We never know when we're going to be setting an example. So acceptance is really important. You can have the perfect person, but it's our choice to accept. But they trusted him. They trusted him because he was consistent. Don't we have a challenge when somebody is very wonderful and very loving, but only when they need something? The minute we see that they're no longer like that, when we're of no use to them or we're not as competent as we used to be, we quickly take back our trust. But he was consistent. He was consistent with his love and care. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is a pure devotee. Srila Prabhupada also consistent with his love and care. He didn't judge on what people could or couldn't do. He inspired them. He evoked trust in them. You speak to any Prabhupada disciple, you watch the Prabhupada memories. Time after time, video after video, it doesn't matter how they encountered Srila Prabhupada, they expressed this wonderful quality of leadership in him, much like Lord Ram, that he inspired trust and acceptance. They accepted what he said. They accepted his instruction. So this Varna and Ashram is not simply a facility for comfort. It's not simply a facility to find our purpose in this world. It is actually a facility for us to become God conscious, and that was Lord Ram's purpose, to re-establish religious principles, to annihilate the demons, and to please his devotees. So Lord Ramachandra, in his human experience of divinity, or his example of the human experience, one of the most difficult human experiences, where your human experience is completely on display, sets this example with the spirit of love and cooperation. Prabhupada goes on to say that, thus people should be trained to become Vaishnavas through the system of Varna and Ashram. Simply enforcing laws and ordinances cannot make citizens obedient and lawful. In this room, we are all going to have varying abilities to law and order, right? There are those of us in this room who, if there's a rule or a law and it has to be enforced, you're like, yep, I've got to follow it. You know, if somebody told you you cannot dance outside these four squares during Mangal Arati, you will stick to it. And there's others, you hear that and you think, there's no way, I'm going to see what it's like to go into six squares instead of four, right? Your mind will immediately, because our human natures are different and our human natures are so governed by the mind, right? Our human nature actually begins first in the mind before it even manifests in the body, because the body follows the mind. And Krishna explains this in the Bhagavad Gita also, that whatever state one remembers at the time of death, that state he shall attain without fail. Basically saying whatever you're thinking of informs what you get. That's not just at the time of death. That is every moment and every day, right? I went to my daughter was in a speech competition. She was in the regional finals. And the girl who won spoke about this power of attraction, which is basically what Bhagavad Gita talks about. Krishna talks about this power of attraction. We attract that which we think about. So in this mood of, we don't follow rules and regulations, right? Prabhupada's saying, so work with your humanity. Varna and Ashram is there to work with your humanity, not deny your humanity. So although Lord Ram's example can feel and seem like, yes, it's very desirable, but I can't seem to find a leader, and I don't think I could be the kind of leader who could invite this kind of planet or this kind of world to my community, it is possible. How is it possible? And Srila Prabhupada gives that to us in the purport to verse 53. This is why I picked this verse. When Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was king of this world, all bodily and mental suffering, disease, old age, bereavement, lamentation, distress, fear and fatigue were completely absent. There was even no death for those who did not want it. Sounds like Vaikuntha, sounds like a spiritual world. Why? Because the king is Krishna, the king is Ram. All these facilities existed because of Lord Ramachandra's presence as the king of the entire world. A similar situation could be introduced immediately, even in this age called Kali, the worst of all ages. It is said, Kali Kale Name Rupe Krishna Avatara. Krishna descends in this Kali Yuga in the form of his holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. If we chant offenselessly, Rama and Krishna are still present in this age. The kingdom of Ram was immensely popular and beneficial, and the spreading of this Hare Krishna movement can immediately introduce a similar situation, even in this Kali Yuga. What is Srila Prabhupada inviting us to do? whilst outside we may not find Lord Ram. We may even feel like I could aspire to be like that, but it seems impossible. Are we going to wait for a time when the movement has an ashram leader or a temple president or a community leader who's like Lord Ram? Are we going to wait till our prime minister is like Lord Ram or president is like Lord Ram before we say, hey, I'm going to get serious about my spiritual life? You know, because only when my leader is really amazing will I become serious about spiritual life. Because if leadership is not proper, then does the process actually work? Prabhupada saying here very clearly, actually, if you seat the holy name on the throne of your heart, on the throne of your mind, on the throne of your tongue, that is how we can make divinity our king, our leader, our ruler. This is Krishna persona. He's actually always Lord Ramachandra, Krishna, Balaram, Srimati Radharani. They're actually whoever you have an affinity to. They are always present as our leader and can be, whether we see them as a father, a mother, a king, a queen, as a friend. They're always present through the holy name. And actually, when we take leadership, when we follow the leadership of the holy name, we are following divine vision. Because actually, when we anchor ourselves in the Maha Mantra, when we chant, as Prabhupada says, without offense, what does that mean? Offenseless chanting means, at the most basic level, attentive. Even more basic, attempting to be attentive. Okay? Attempting, because where there's endeavor, if our endeavor is in attempting to be attentive, there's no space for any of the 10 offenses. Because you're not thinking about anything else, you're just thinking about trying. When we put this effort in the conditioned state, it will eventually lead us to a point where actually our conditioning doesn't control us. It's just a circumstance. It's just an atmosphere. It's just something to work with. It's just a channel. Right? If we look at Varnashram, it's like some of you might resonate with this example, a circuit, a well-ordered circuit. Right? A well-ordered circuit allows electricity to flow. Well-ordered society, which is built on trust and cooperation and love, allows Krishna's love to flow. Allows the Lord's love to flow. Allows our love to flow. Right? You have series circuits and parallel circuits. Right? You have these different types of circuits. What happens in a series circuit? I'm not going to turn this into a science lesson, don't worry. What happens in a series circuit? Anybody remember your bit of physics? Anybody know? Yep, okay. So what's the downside of a series circuit? Yes, everything fails, right? What's a parallel circuit? Yes, exactly. So we're not an electricity board, okay, or a circuit. But this example of the series circuit and the parallel circuit really shows what happens when we have... So you look at the series circuit, where if one link fails, the whole circuit fails, the electricity stops moving throughout the community. This is where we are too dependent on leadership, okay? We're too dependent on one person. Okay, if you're not proper, then I'm no longer going to be proper. Parallel circuit means there's an interdependence. So we have leaders, and they're of different strengths. You know, in a parallel circuit, you can have lights and batteries of different wattages and strengths. But I also take responsibility and accountability for what I'm channeling. Right? So if one fails, doesn't matter. Community doesn't break down. In fact, it gives time for that one that's missing or broken down to recharge and start up again. Okay? So these qualities of Lord Ramachandra, I was looking at his qualities of leadership. When Prabhupada gives us this secret to having a leader who is pure by seating the holy name on the throne of our heart, it means that we can constantly be guided by divine vision. Because as we connect with the holy name in the heart, Paramatma communicates with us directly. Externally, through guru, through teachers, and through devotees. And actually through anyone, the purer we become. and from within. So we can have a constant connection to a king, to a leader who will drive us, not just how to understand and how to live in this world, but live in this world in a way that ultimately makes us Krishna conscious. Okay, you know, from time to time, the challenges of our community become publicly discussed. And I think in recent months, there's been a lot of public discussion about failings of leaders. And it's overshadowed the successes of our community, the successes of leaders. I'm not saying that's wrong or bad. So these things also need attention. We don't just focus on the good things. We also focus on the things that need improving. So it's welcome. But I'm pointing to this overshadowing because what's happened is, as is inevitable and expected, people's faith is tested. People's faith is tested when, because like we see with leaders, your life is in public. People have expectations. People's faith is tested. And the question might be asked, and somebody did ask, somebody whose faith has been tested asked, how can the holy name work if these things go on? You know, and this is a... That question probably shook me more than the idea that, or more than the experience that people are hurt when leaders not just fail, but neglect and hurt others in the during their activities. Because that, in one sense, is we're living in the material world in Kali Yuga. Human beings are human beings. They are vulnerable to their conditioning. But does the holy name work? How can the holy name work? That really, I think that hit me a little bit more. Because whilst people can lose faith in leadership, losing faith in Krishna, losing faith in God is a whole different ballgame. And this is a really, I think, a really serious and important point to distinguish the two. Because what we find is, you know, when people aren't on a spiritual path and leadership fails them, whatever leadership that is, your protector fails you, whether it's in the home or outside, often people will turn to God, right? They'll turn to God. They'll say, okay, well, you know, God's perfect. God loves me. I will turn to God. But when the representative of God fails you, whether that's, again, through family or through leadership outside in community, then it can easily break or more easily break your faith in whether divinity exists or even works. So this question of does the holy name work? And I think for us, this is where we can get muddled between humanity and divinity. Because the holy name, Krishna's name, is Krishna. Krishna's name is Krishna. The purpose of Krishna, whether he comes as his name, whether he comes as Lord Ram, whether he comes as Krishna Balaram, whether he comes as Lord Chaitanya, what is the purpose? Very clear. Very, very clear. Find out who you are. Find out who I am. And let's reconnect. Find out who you are. Find out who I am. And let's reconnect. This may or may not lead to changes in the human life. Some of those changes may look better. Some of those changes may look worse. Some of those changes may mean that one can move up in positions, even in a religious community. But it's not the same thing as becoming Krishna conscious. Moving up in Varna and Ashram is not equivalent to knowing who you are, knowing who Krishna is, and reconnecting with him. It is a facility. And I think this is where this question of does the holy name work comes up. Because where anybody who's in a position of responsibility hurts others, not just by accident, but repeatedly. Okay, we have this verse in the Bhagavad Gita, right? 9:30, the one that sometimes people like to quote when they're confused. Right? And I want to quote it verbatim. Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. Now, without going into Prabhupada's very thorough purport, where he is very clear that this is about mistakes, the verse itself also emphasizes this, because the last sentences, Krishna says, because he is properly situated in his determination. When your determination is properly situated, there is no habit of neglecting or hurting. It's accidental. It may happen from time to time because of conditioning, but it's not repetitive and it's not continuous and it's not increasing and it's certainly not masked continuously. So I wanted to raise that because we can often confuse that, oh, if somebody's allowed to have a leadership position, then that means they must be advanced spiritually. Krishna's allowing it, Krishna's facilitating it. There's a difference between Krishna allowing something to happen and Krishna actually saying, yes, this is a direct result of your relationship with me. There's not really anything that happens to us materially that is equivalent to, I know who I am, I know who Krishna is, and I know my relationship with him. It's not the same thing. That's why if you ask different devotees, oh, I got a new job, do you think this is Krishna's arrangement? Or is it a test? Right? Because if you try and read Krishna through what's happening in our human life, it depends on where you're at, how renounced you are, who you ask, right? Because these are, as Prabhupada explains, we have our constitutional life, and we have our conditional life. Varnashram is part of our conditional life. And it's important, but it's not absolute. And one of Lord Ram's standout features is that he followed the absolute absolutely, but he followed the conditional relative to the absolute. Not followed the conditional as if it's the absolute. And I think as devotees, if we want longevity in our Krishna consciousness, this understanding that, and it's not that people shouldn't be held accountable, they absolutely should. You know, people should be held accountable. The more responsibility you have, there should be accountability. And if that accountability means outside of our movement, there needs to be people involved, then we get them involved. Because we also have a duty to protect other people. It's not just about, okay, I have a problem here, I'll get it out of my house, and it can go do some, you know, do that damage elsewhere. Right? If you have a pest in your home, getting rid of it is one thing, but getting rid of it and putting it in your neighbor's garden is completely different, isn't it? So why am I mentioning this? Seating the holy name on the throne of our heart, it allows us to unpick. It allows us to unpick the humanity from divinity when things get confusing, because believe you me, all of us, it doesn't matter how much you try and bury your head in the sand, at one point Krishna will literally say, okay, you've got to look up now, look around you, okay? Because it's important for mine and your relationship that you don't just hide. I need to know that even though all of these things are going on, you still want me. And you still have faith in me. And you want to understand who I am to you and who you are to me and how much you mean to me. And you want to experience that relationship. Because Krishna conscious, being conscious of anyone, uninterruptedly, unmotivated, okay, unalloyed, it means love. Love is the only thing that gets us to that state. Okay, being Krishna conscious also means that when we read verses, we are conscious of Krishna's intention. Krishna has not said anything in any scriptures where he has an intention that I want you to use this to hurt other people. I want you to use this to exploit other people. His intention behind everything he says, is find a way to use this to apply in your own life so you come closer to me. And if you happen to have responsibilities for others, whether it's one person or a million people, you use this to help them come closer to me too. Does that make sense? And for me, this is, you know, studying Lord Ramachandra's life and Lord Ram's qualities as a leader, I had to, in my own conditional life in a female body, get over the separation of Ram and Sita. Not so much the separation in the forest and Ravan kidnapping. You know, that wasn't such a big deal. But this separation that happens when the washerman is, you know, Lord Ram goes out in stealth, doesn't he? Goes out stealth, in secret, sends other people out to find out what's going on. So the separation between Ram and Sita that happens as a result of the criticism of one of the citizens. And I mean, that's a whole separate discussion. But I was able to come to peace with that because when I read around the subject, I was able to understand to some degree the intention behind that particular leela and also address it from the fact that, remember, Ramayana's happened in many yugas and kalpas in many different universes. And there are different variations of the Ramayana and different degrees of detail. Like if you go to the Padma Purana, there's even more detail about the Ramayana than you might hear in Valmiki's Ramayana or even on ZTV or Asta TV's current rendition of the Ramayana. So I had to get over, in one sense, I thought, I can't speak wholeheartedly about Lord Ram until I try to understand this a little bit for myself, a little bit more for myself. Because whilst because the process works, as you apply and you stay longer, the influences of your conditioning are not as strong. They're still there and it's important to acknowledge them. So I just wanted to close with, yes, whilst we are unlikely to be like Lord Ram or have someone exactly like Lord Ram, externally, as our leader, we can, as Prabhupada says, have that kind of direction by seating the holy name on the throne of our heart, being directed always. But also understanding that, you know, good leaders make mistakes, but good leaders own up to their mistakes, first to themselves, and they set about repairing and apologizing and making changes. Poor leaders also make mistakes, but poor leaders, actually the word leader and poor really shouldn't be going next to each other, right? You're not a leader anymore. They don't recognize their mistakes. And even if they do so begrudgingly, and they rarely set about changing it. Because a poor leader puts their own needs before everybody else's. So how do we keep our faith in the holy name when the representatives break our faith? Representatives are just representatives. If the branding breaks, it doesn't mean the product's broken. Okay? Just because the branding fails doesn't mean the product's broken. So please don't lose your faith in the holy name. Just because one person has let their conditioning get the better of them, or even many people have let their conditioning get the better of them. They've chosen to say yes to their conditioning and not to the holy name. So let's take Lord Ramachandra's example and trust him and believe that that kind of leadership can enter all of our lives. Because even, and this is something I have experienced myself, even if we are met with a imperfect leader, when we chant offenselessly, we draw out perfection even from imperfection. That imperfect person will find themselves saying and doing things which facilitate perfection in us, which facilitate our spiritual life. Now, that's not a reason to excuse that behaving. Oh, it's okay, because as long as we're perfect, we can put, you know, imperfect leaders in place and we'll draw out the perfection. No, it's got to be balance, right? But I'm just saying, please don't lose faith, because Krishna's perfect. The holy name is perfect. And yes, the holy name works even whilst all of these things are happening. Even whilst all of these things are happening. The material world doesn't change. When you become a devotee, our vision of the material world changes. I'm going to stop there. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. I think we can take some questions or comments. Or if anybody has insights into Ram Leela that you want to share, please do so.
Hare Krishna. Is there an on button?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thanks for the class. So I just wanted to ask a little bit more about the point you made about Sita Ram Leela and the separation. So I get asked quite a lot about this, so I felt it's like important to bring it up because many people get put off because of it, like especially people in female bodies get put off and say that this is victim blaming. Like basically someone gets raped and then, or they, you know, she didn't get touched by him at all, but you know, they see it in that way that, you know, okay, this can be seen as a perverted reflection of victim blaming. And so how do we establish that for people that may lose faith because of it? Because within our society, the issues that have come up with certain sannyasis and things, it can be seen in the same light that the relationship between male and female is so imbalanced and that it causes these issues because then there's repression and suppression of natural flowing energy. So yeah, I feel it's important to actually discuss it rather than just kind of go over it like it's not important, because it is important.
Okay, I didn't, I wasn't trying to gloss over it. It's just I was looking at time, that's all. And it wasn't, I was asked to focus on Lord Ram's leadership qualities rather than that. But I'm happy to address it. I figured it would be inevitable somebody would raise it. See, the danger with lifting anything in isolation from a pastime or anything, even from someone's life, why do we judge people? We take one thing from their life, either the way they look or what they've said or their accent or the way they wear their hair, and we form a whole picture from that, okay? We make that mistake, or we can make that mistake, if we reject the absolute truth because we've lifted something without understanding the context. Equally, people do the same thing when they exploit others. They will take something and they will not put what Krishna's intention is behind it, they'll put their own intention behind it. One thing I want to say a little bit more about is that, you know, Lord Ramchandra, when he moves, you know, this word stealth, it means in an inconspicuous way. Why? Because he wants to weed out that which is hidden. Now, that washerman criticizing, well, actually, if you read it, he doesn't actually criticize. It's depicted like that in films. He actually glorifies Lord Ram, saying, I don't have that kind of integrity and trust that I can accept. You know, I have doubt, I have fear. He's saying this himself. That's why I'm finding it difficult to take you back after you've been to another man's wife. And actually, it's very clear that his wife hasn't been deemed pure, whereas Sita Devi had been. And this word stealth, I think, is important because the holy name is stealth as well. The way the holy name draws things out in our hearts, from our minds, in a way that we don't realize. And leaders or no leaders, all of us, we will find ourselves facing anarthas, unwanted things in our heart that we never knew we had. Okay? And again, Shastra is also stealth. Even if you take that one verse out of context, although it's not ideal, it can wake us up to what is my conditioning in this world that still has control over me? There are so many philosophical reasons for why that pastime took place the way it did. Okay. Philosophical reasons such as, actually Lord Ram cared more as a leader, as he should, for the hundreds and millions of, like a father, children, citizens he had, than for his own. But he was distraught. Okay, he was suicidal when you described it. Even Bharat, his brother, when he heard that Lord Ram was thinking that, okay, how can I keep, you know, in close proximity with Sita after hearing this? He was distraught. He fainted. You know, they're both so distraught. When you're in that much grief, you lose the ability to stay in this body. You don't want to live in that house, right? He was distraught. He didn't want to. But to protect a society that he'd set up in such a way that everyone was cooperative, even nature. Even nature was giving freely. Even Yamaraj was under control. Okay. To maintain that, he had to rip his heart to shreds. And Sita Devi is his divine consort. She is his heart. And knowing this already herself, she will not want to hurt him. She will not want to compromise his mission. So this is not just an ordinary, we judge things through an ordinary male-female relationship. But if we're going to take that as an example, then we should take his whole life as an example. This cherry-picking habit we have doesn't help us. It doesn't help us in the way we connect with Krishna and the process. It doesn't help us in the way we treat others. So yes, there will be people who will take verses and incidents like that to exploit others. But there will be people who will take that to protect others as well. Right? Is that okay? Prabhupada used everything to protect us. He didn't discriminate. He empowered women. In fact, he went as far as saying, stop thinking you're man or woman, because it will limit you. Even men, it limits, right? I mean, I hope you don't mind me sharing this. Sometimes I will meet the odd person here, and I think we're pretty balanced in the UK. But sometimes when I go to other places, I will hear interpretations like, beliefs that, okay, women don't have a varna. They just adopt whatever their father or husband does. A varna is just what you do. What's the big deal, right? Like, okay, I can actually argue with you and give you psychological and scriptural reasons why women do have varna. Varna just means nature. You come in with a nature already. Krishna talks about nature. Everybody has that. But actually, in one sense, okay, if you have no varna, great, I'm free then. I can offer any service to Krishna, you know, whereas everybody else is restricted until they're not conditioned anymore to just the varna that they have. Do you see the way we can, there's always, so what is Krishna's intention? What is Guru's intention? What is the intention behind it? Rather than just what's going on. Does that make sense? And where somebody actually wants to know the truth beyond their conditioning, they will find it easier to accept. Where we still want to hold on to our conditioning, we will look for every excuse to hold on to it. Right? I mean, I'm sure you've come across people who want to keep that victim state of mind. It's understandable. It's understandable. That doesn't mean it's advisable.
Haribol, thank you so much for the class. I wonder, in regard to this, if we're trying to help someone who's, you know, in such a state of mind to kind of come out of that wormhole of thought, what could we do? You know, as you say, each of us is in some shape or form a leader because you're preaching to someone. In that scenario, you are a leader. You are taking responsibility. So how could we help that person, you know?
I think sometimes we have to reframe what we see as help. Often for us in our mind, our help is, oh, I've got to convince you that right. It's not like this, right? And actually really helping a person, Prabhupada was expert at this. He's met people where they were at. Rather than going, here, come to where I'm at. It's like, okay, you're there. I'll let you have space. I'm not going to move my position. I'm here. But I'm waiting. And I'll make it as easy as possible for you to come closer to me. So that patience, that compassion, we lack patience in our spirit of wanting to, okay, I want to preach and give Krishna consciousness, or I want to be a good devotee. I want, you know. And I'm not saying that that's what you're doing, but the mind has a very subtle way of masking our own agenda. So be patient. Be considerate. You don't have to change your position. You don't have to change your understanding. We can be accepting of others without being influenced. And ultimately, the purity from your side and their receptivity is what comes through anyway. And sometimes it just takes a bit of time.
Thanks. How do you not get influenced?
So just like you have a physical immune system, we also have an emotional immune system. We have a spiritual immune system. So the stronger our spiritual immune system, it means that our physical and emotional immune system are enriched by that. Spiritual energy, spiritual vibration has the ability to transform physical, psychological, emotional. doesn't mean we over-rely on that's all we do. We neglect the mind, we neglect the body. But as we are spiritually strong, not only do we then deflect things that come to us. You know, the holy name is a vaccine. The holy name is also an antibiotic, right? So we're being infected by illusion all the time, right? All the time. Even if you're an atheist, somebody's trying to delude you into believing they've got the best product or they're the best person or this is the best way of life. This is, you know, it's not just between atheists and theists. So one has to keep, this is why seating the holy name on the throne of your heart, it helps to be so connected to that transcendental realm that when we get that onslaught of anything that might pervert that or twist that, so we're resilient. We've been vaccinated for the day, you know? Nothing can, you don't catch it anymore. So there's the defense and then there's just, okay, I'm not going to be able to catch this. And you become the kind of version of where you can go into any environment and actually you transform others. Yeah, you're the catalyst. Is that okay?
Horrible.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I thought, wow, none of the men have a question or comment. Hare Krishna Prabhu.
I'm a man.
For now. For now.
I was just wondering about, you know, when he's crying and running away from his mother, the Acharya says he's completely absorbed and he just thinks he's a baby and like that. And even in his eternal Leela, he forgets he's a Supreme Lord and he just thinks I'm a coward boy. So I was thinking, in one purport, Prabhupada says that Ramachandra, he was relishing loving separation from Sita.
Mm.
And when Ravana kidnapped her, he was in the forest, he's crying and, you know, going for a lot of trauma, but he was relishing it. So I wonder, is Ramachandra also covered by this Leela Shakti, where he just thinks I'm a human king? And is that also in Ayodhya eternally, that mood? Or is he aware that he's a Supreme Personality of Godhead?
Mm. That's a good question. Lots of layers there. There's always got to be some Leela Shakti covering, right? Otherwise the Leela doesn't take place. Now this relishing his trauma. You're trying to tell someone you should relish your trauma. They're like, what? You know, what are you talking about? Prabhupada explains this pain that Lord Ramachandra feels. So actually, transcendental emotions are different to material emotions. That transcendental emotions means that there's ecstasy and pleasure even in what may the perverted human reflection may be troublesome, right? And so separation here, the most we can identify of it as being pleasurable is when you miss someone and you're looking forward to seeing them again. But most people, if you miss someone for too long, you start getting busy distracting yourself, right? You may initially, I mean, anybody who's ever listened to, think back to your youth, maybe you listened to a love song to propagate you feeling separation. I mean, that's why they sell, right? Songs that are about separation, because sometimes we like to stay in that place, but we don't want to relish it for very long. We're like, okay, now I need to distract myself because I can't be stopping my life just because somebody's away, you know, and I don't like feeling miserable. Because there's a misery to it. You can't really relish trauma here. You can grow from it, but you're never going to be ecstatic that somebody traumatized you unless you get to a point where you are relishing spiritual emotions. Because then when we relish spiritual emotions, then even if there's been human pain, that human pain is nothing compared to the spiritual emotion. So Lord Ramachandra, yes, he's covered by Leela Shakti, but he's experiencing human-like emotions, but they're actually divine emotions because his relationship with Sita Devi is not a human one. It appears to be a human one, but it's a divine one. Does that make sense?
Yeah, the human emotions are based on the reflection of...
Yes. But his aren't dependent on a human mind. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah, but Lord Ramachandra has not experienced them with a material human mind. Because his mind is still pure, you see? The material human mind is... It's all, yeah, exactly. All of him is transcendental. So it appears human-like. And it's resembles... What we have resembles it. But the human mind can't hold transcendental emotion. It can be a bridge to it, but it can't hold it. Which is why with Raghunuga Bhakti... Raghunuga Bhakti in practice, the mind is a bridge, But actually, when Raganugapakti and Ruchi, Ashakti, and Pav manifest, they're actually manifesting on the platform of the soul. Those emotions are different. Thank you for your question. You look very joyful, Prabhu. What's making you happy?
Next class.
Oh, good. I'm glad. I was a bit like, oh my God, Lord Ramchandra can be a bit of, you know, difficult topic. Okay, thank you. I think we'll stop there. Everybody's ready for breakfast. Hare Krishna.